Welcome to part 3 of this 5-part series of study aid videos on modern Chinese history. I'm Dr. Ben Habib from La Trobe University, and in this presentation we'll look at the establishment of the Chinese Republic and the Warlord period from 1912 to 1928. There's a lot of ground to cover in this period. Specifically, I'll focus on the early Republic under Yuan Shikai, the breakaway of the southern provinces and the crumbling of Yuan's regime, the regional warlords' fight for control of the Beijing government, the May 4th movement, Sun Yat-sen's re-establishment of the Kuomintang in Guangzhou, the emergence of Chiang Kai-shek and the Northern Expedition, and finally, the Communist Party and its break with the Kuomintang. We saw in our last video that Sun Yat-sen declared the Chinese Republic at Wuchang on October 10th, 1911, which led to the Xinhai Revolution and the collapse of the Qing Dynasty. However, Sun did not have military backing to take control of the government at this time, so he ceded the presidency of the new republic to the former Qing general Yuan Shikai. On August 25, 1912, the Kuomintang was established in Beijing on a democratic platform in favour of a constitutional parliamentary democracy with Sun as its party chairman. The party had support of many members of the gentry, or people of high social class, along with the merchant class, who were the traders. This is important to remember later when we examine the KMT-Communist split. The party was opposed to the constitutional monarchists, who had links to the old regime, and sought to check the power of Yuan Shikai, the strongman leader of the constitutional monarchist faction. The Kuomintang won an overwhelming majority of the seats in the First National Assembly, the elections for which were held in December 1912. But President Yuan soon began to ignore the parliament and had KMT parliamentary leader Song Jiaorun assassinated in 1913. In response, Sun Yat-sen and the KMT staged a second revolution in July 1913 in an attempt to overthrow Yuan, but which failed due to poor planning and lack of support. Yuan responded to this second revolution by expelling the KMT members from the National Assembly and dissolving the party, which forced the KMT leadership into exile in Japan. Yuan effectively led the country as the new emperor, and even reinstated some of the dynastic rituals held at the Qing Temple of Heaven. By 1916, he declared himself as the Emperor of the Chinese Empire. After his victory, Yuan reorganized the provincial governments by replacing the civilian governors with military generals. Each new military governor now had effective control of a small army of their own. Now, while this gave Yuan strong military backing in the short term, the provincial reorganization laid the foundation for the divisions of the warlord period in the decade to come. A very important point. But Yuan Shikai had miscalculated with his imperial declaration. There were open protests against his regime across China. Many of Yuan's supporters amongst the provincial military governors abandoned him, and international governments refused to recognize his rule. From Tokyo, Sun Yat-sen and the exiled KMT schemed to overthrow him. With Yuan's prestige irreparably damaged, individual provinces increasingly declared their autonomy from Yuan's government in Beijing, particularly in the south of the country. His power continued ebbing away until he died, a humiliated man, on June 5, 1916. In 1917, China declared war on Germany in the hope of recovering its lost province of Shandong, then under Japanese control. On May 4, 1919, there were massive student demonstrations against the Beijing government and Japan. The political and intellectual fervour of the May 4th movement, set in motion by patriotic student protests, developed into a national awakening. The May 4th movement covered more than 20 provinces and over 100 cities in the country, and had a broader political foundation than even the 1911 revolution. In short, it helped to rekindle the Republican Revolution after the backward steps made under Yuan's regime. In 1917, Sun Yat-sen established a rival military government in Guangzhou in collaboration with southern warlords, and later re-established the KMT in October 1919. The May 4th movement served as an intellectual turning point in China. It was a seminal event that radicalized Chinese intellectual thought. The Western-style liberal democracy that was favored by Chinese intellectuals during the 1911 revolution was discredited by the Treaty of Versailles that ended World War I, which was viewed as a betrayal of China's interests because they didn't get back the province of Shandong, which was under Japanese control. Conversely, the May 4th movement was a thoroughly anti-imperialist and anti-feudal movement, which brought the Chinese working class onto the political stage, including future members of the Communist Party. Now, this was a group of people that had previously not been politicized, so this is an important development. With Yuan's death, China was left without any generally recognized central authority, and the nation's army quickly fragmented into forces of competing warlords. Over the period from 1916 to 1928, three major cliques gained ascendancy in Chinese politics. At first, the faction based in Anhui was dominant between 1916 and 1920, followed by the Jili hegemony in 1920 to 24, and then the dominance of the Fengtian faction in 1924 to 28. Sun Yat-sen died on March 12, 1925, which created a power vacuum in the Kuomintang. A contest ensued between General Chiang Kai-shek, who stood at the right wing of the KMT, and Sun Yat-sen's close comrade Wang Jingwei, who leaned towards the left. Chiang was the commandant of the Kuomintang's Wonpua Military Academy and had been a close ally of Sun Yat-sen. Although Wang initially succeeded Sun as chairman of the national government, Chiang's position in the party's internal hierarchy was bolstered by his military backing and his adept political handling of the Zhongshan warship incident. In the end, it was Chiang who would emerge as the leader of the KMT. During the summer of 1925, Chiang, as commander-in-chief of the KMT's National Revolutionary Army, set out on the Northern Expedition against the Northern warlords with support of arms from the fledgling communist regime in the Soviet Union. Chiang had to defeat three separate warlords and two independent armies, but within 9 months, his National Revolutionary Army had claimed almost all of southern China from the local warlords. By 1926, however, the Kuomintang had divided into left and right-wing factions, and the communist bloc within it was also growing. In early 1927, the KMT-communist rivalry led to a split in the revolutionary ranks. The Communist Party and the left wing of the Kuomintang had decided to move the seat of the nationalist government from Guangzhou to Wuhan. But Chiang Kai-shek, whose northern expedition was proving successful, set his forces to destroying the local Communist Party apparatus in the important city of Shanghai and established anti-communist government at Nanjing in April 2007. But Chiang, whose northern expedition was proving successful, set his forces to destroying the local Communist Party apparatus in the important city of Shanghai and established his anti-communist government in Nanjing in April of 1927. In response, the communists attempted to foment armed insurrections in both urban and rural areas to lay the foundation for a communist revolution. Unsuccessful attempts were made to take cities such as Nanchang, Changsha, Shantou, and Guangzhou, and an armed rural insurrection known as the Autumn Harvest Uprising was staged by peasants in Hunan province. The Autumn Harvest Uprising heralded the emergence of one Mao Zedong, who would later become chairman of the Communist Party and head of state of the People's Republic of China. There were now three capitals in China: the internationally recognized warlord regime in Beijing, the communist and left-wing Kuomintang regime at Wuhan, and the right-wing civilian military regime in Nanjing under Chiang, which would remain the Kuomintang capital for the next decade. So in summary, there were many important developments during the early Republican and warlord periods. Yuan Shikai's attempt to usurp the 1911 revolution and establish a new dynasty was unsuccessful and ultimately resulted in the political fragmentation of the country on one hand and the politicization of the masses on the other. We also see the fingerprints of Sun Yat-sen, who to this day is remembered as the father of modern China for his efforts to help unseat the Qing dynasty and establish the Chinese Republic. As we move into the warlord period, we see the emergence in the Kuomintang of General Chiang Kai-shek, who rose to the leadership of the KMT after Sun's death in 1925. Simultaneously, the Chinese Communist Party rose to prominence from the May 4th movement. The ideological differences between the communists and the KMT led to a split in the nationalist movement. During the period covered in this third video, Chiang and the KMT remained the dominant of these two factions. In the next video, however, we'll see the KMT bring the communists to their knees until the Japanese invasion brings a truce to the civil war, which changes the whole dynamic between the two competing factions.